me for 9 o'clock. It's now 9:22 for Monday, June 28th. And present are legislators Burton, Harkham, Ryan, Burroughs, Myers, and myself, John Nona. We are joined by the county attorney. And what's your exact title?
Assistant county
attorney. And we're here to discuss the proposed source of income law sponsored by legislators Mazzano and Abinanti. Legislator Mazzano is here by telephone, we are awaiting the arrival of Legislator Abinanti. The issues that were outstanding from last week, last discussion, which was last week, was the issue of preemption.
Eminent domain law.
Yes, that's what he meant.
I'm sorry. I inadvertently said source of income.
I go, why are we doing this again?
Eminent domain. Sorry, eminent domain. And that's the law, proposed law we're discussing. So there's an outstanding issue of preemption. There was a proposal to change the definitions in the proposed 64403. C and B to change the terms public use and private use to permitted use and prohibited use, and to add the word solely in the definition of what would be permitted use. And we also removed the private cause of action, private right of action that was originally in the legislation. But I'm going to turn the floor over to the representatives of the county attorney's office and the county attorney for any comments they have on the preemption issue.
Well, I think the last meeting we talked about one specific topic, whether they thought we'd talk about it all, but left for the research was whether the definition of private use and public use would be violative of the preemption provisions of the EDPL. So we continued our research on
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And we submitted you a memorandum. You have it this morning.
I don't think I have any.
We have one from the 17th, but I haven't seen anything else.
No, I
want to
give.
Is it
this one?
Okay.
No, oh, this is the legislation.
I just signed it. No, we have an opinion. You don't have it?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Downstairs, I'll go get it.
Well, call it. Can you call it?
Somebody else.
Can we go get it?
Yeah.
I gave it to Lisa to give to.
She must have just gotten it.
And Jim, you're not going to have the benefit of this, unfortunately.
Unless it's electronic and they could email it.
Yeah. Watch your neck, Judy.
And watch your coffee or water, whatever that is over there.
So Legislator Abinanti has also joined us by phone. And we're waiting an opinion that the county attorney has with respect to the issue of preemption, looking specifically as to whether the definitions of public use or private use, and which are now proposed to be changed to permitted use and prohibited use, raise any preemption problems.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does the new opinion then eliminate this June 17th
opinion? No, it's a
supplemental.
We didn't specifically address that point on the definition of public and private use, and we wanted to do some more research before we came to the conclusion on that. We thought it was an area that could...
I think what we concluded from the last meeting that the private right of action and giving private persons a right to sue under this law may raise preemption issues under the eminent domain procedure law. Right, I think we reached that conclusion.
Yes.
So that's been, and there's also other objections to having a private cause of action. So that's been deleted from the current version of the proposed law, as well as a section that provides for private parties to seek an injunction. But this issue about whether I think we resolved the fact that the legislature imposing upon itself a restriction in the use of funds in and of itself isn't preempted.
Right.
But the issue is whether our definitions of public and private use raise some issues of preemption. While we're waiting, I also note that last week on Thursday, of last week, the Court of Appeals, the New York State Court of Appeals, handed down a decision with respect to the Columbia University proposed Columbia University project in West Harlem, and reversed the lower appellate court and held that the exercise of eminent domain by the Empire State Development Corporation was constitutional and appropriate. And it did so under two provisions of the law that governs what the Empire State, ESDC's, Empire State Development Corporation's powers are. One deals with the issue of blight, but they also provided that, they also found that the ESDC could exercise eminent domain under another provision of the law that sets forth their powers, and that is to exercise eminent domain in furtherance of a civic project. And I thought that was interesting because a civic project doesn't have to involve property that suffers from blight. A civic project is actually defined under the law as, quote, a project or that portion of a multi-purpose project designed and intended for the purpose of providing facilities for educational, cultural, recreational, community, municipal, public service, or other civic purposes. And the court held that this Columbia project, since it advanced educational purposes, fell within that power. There was one judge who concurred in the opinion as a whole, but disagreed with the use of reliance upon the civic project part of the law. And it's interesting because the civic project concept was used for the Atlantic Yards decision too, where basically the court held that building a arena for the Nets basketball team, even though it's a for-profit corporation, would be a civic project because it advanced cultural and recreational purposes. So you can question whether you think that's appropriate or not. But anyway, that's just something else to consider, this concept of a civic project. Tom and Jim, do you want to why don't I give the floor to you now while we're waiting for that opinion?
Hello?
Jim, I'm here. I'll let Jimmy go first.
Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tom wants you to go first.
What specifically would you like me to say at this point?
Well, I guess you could comment on the issue of public use, private. Well, here's the opinion. So, but they don't have it.
Yeah, is that electronic?
Yes, just emailing copy to
Jim. And how about Abadon?
One at a time.
I didn't realize he wasn't here. We can send it.
Tom, what was your point? What did you say?
I'm saying let Jimmy go first because I'm in the parking lot. I'll come up and talk in person.
Okay. Well, he'll okay. Be able to get a copy of this. Well, let's
right,
just take a moment to
Tom.
Look at what we're being handed by. By Justin.
This is June 25th.
Yeah. No, I got one coming up. Thanks.
Oh, well, but there's still that.
He's coming up in the elevator.
Jim,
yeah.
Just for your you really need to read this, but the conclusion reached by this memorandum from the county attorney is that by defining public and private use or prohibited and permitted use, I guess it wouldn't change your opinion just by the words changing, in a way that's more restrictive than is permissible, than the reasons for condemnation permissible under the E, the eminent domain procedure law, is not permitted. That we would be preempted from having that more, the narrower definition for either prohibited use and permitted use or private use and public use. So I don't know that we can proceed further without at least spending some time discussing and considering this memorandum and the cases. Does anybody have any thoughts? Any other thoughts? I mean,
well, I would just, Mr. Chairman, I would. I think what I'm reading here is that the whole thing is moot under this analysis. Am I right?
Well, ask the county attorney.
Yeah.
Well,
you
I always go through the chair.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. Certainly. Answer that question.
When you say the whole thing, I mean, I think last week some folks expressed that if this provision is gone, that there's no purpose left. There is still the other issue that the chairman just mentioned about the abuse of other funds. In conjunction with various projects.
The county regulating itself.
Correct. On separately, outside of the EDBPL, regulating what kind of projects you want to fund or not fund.
That's a different issue.
Well, that's the only thing really left.
That's what we could do.
That's
we
the
have the power issue.
That's the only thing left, and everything else is preempted.
Can I jump into the middle of this?
Well, what's preempted is having a narrower definition of public use and private use.
Does that mean that somebody now has the right to sue the county of Westchester on the basis of this opinion, forcing us to participate in an eminent domain proceeding if we decide not to go into a project because we don't like the use?
No.
Well, that's what you just said in here.
No, it's not what it says at all. No. All it says is that it would be inconsistent with the EDPL for the county to adopt a local law restricting your authority going forward.
It doesn't say you have to exercise it. We're restricting it.
Well, sure you do. Somebody comes in with a project, and I stand up and I convince nine people in this board. I say, we should not be participating in this because, as a matter of principle, this is a project that should. We don't want to participate in the Atlantic Yards project. We get one similar to that because we come back and we say, as a matter of principle, as a matter of policy, we think we should not be doing this type of development. So now somebody comes in and takes an Article 78 proceeding or sues us under a declaratory judgment proceeding and says, you are not applying the state standard, and therefore you are in violation of state law.
But eminent domain is not a requirement. It's a power you have. You're not forced to acquire property for a public purpose. It's a power, not a
thank you. That's my point.
Yeah,
okay. And there's nothing that says we can't exercise that power in advance and set a policy which says that we will refrain from exercising a power under certain circumstances, and that's exactly what we're doing here.
Okay.
That's exactly what we're doing here. How is it different to do it today from doing it tomorrow when the project's before us?
What you just said is on a case-by-case basis, you can make a determination for it or against it.
Where in the law does it say it has to be on a case-by-case basis?
Well, you just described one where nine people are for it and people are opposing it, but each case you look at.
Where in the law does it say it has to be on a case-by-case basis?
No,
he said on a case-by-case basis. I'm saying, where in the law does it say it has to be case-by-case?
What we're saying is the EDPL as a comprehensive methodology statute for eminent domain proceedings. Under state law, you are allowed to consider many things in coming to a conclusion of whether or not to proceed or not to proceed.
Correct. We agree.
To cut that off before you even get to the case that may come forward is.
So then you're saying the developer has.
The EDPL, which allows that.
You're saying the developer then has certain rights to be heard.
No. Well, I'm saying that the state law allows a full discussion on each issue, a proposal, and that to amend it or say you don't have that full discussion on each basis is inconsistent with the EDPL.
Where in the law does it say that you have to have the case-by-case determination? Because if that is the case, then what you're implying is that a developer has a right to be heard and that we have a right, that he has the right to sue us if we do not use the full extent of the definition of the of the ED, of
no,
the.
That's not implied at all.
How many cases have occurred this way, Tom? Because that's the.
That's my whole point. That's my whole point. It's a reductio ad absurdum. The county attorney's position leaves you in an absurd position where you would then have to, where you're giving developers rights to come in and force us to consider every issue. What we're trying to do here, if I may, what I'm trying to do here is to avoid all of this nonsense. If you go around the country, you will see all of these different cases with all kinds of different standards, with all kinds of court opinions on both sides going all different ways. What we're trying to do is set a simple policy up front as to where the Board of Legislators will draw the line. And everybody will know what we will do and won't do. The developers will have certainty in advance, the community will have certainty in advance, and we'll have certainty in advance. We can always change this law, but what we're saying is a matter of policy. No matter what our powers are, we choose in advance to set out the ground rules. That's all we're doing. We're not saying that maybe in some special circumstance we won't choose to amend the law or exempt ourselves from the law. But what we're saying is in advance, you guys should know this is the way we're going to act. This is not in any way replacing or amending the state procedural laws. It is setting down a policy as to how we will exercise our powers in advance. That's all it is doing. And we're setting very simple definitions. That's why we changed it from the concept of public and private use, because that was confusing. We're not dealing with public and private uses here. The definition of public and private use will still be used in a lawsuit if somebody is dissatisfied with the way we acted. What we're trying to say is we are setting down the ground rules in advance, just like the county attorney, the county executive will determine what he's going to send down to us. Somebody comes into the planning department. The planning department says, you know what, Mr. County Executive, what do you think? And he says, I don't like that project. Don't send it to the Board of Legislators. He's got the right to do that. We have the right to put up a project. Or one of our legislators comes in. Mr. Harkin comes in and says, I got a project. And the rest of us look and say, Peter, we don't like that project. Turn it down. Okay. But somehow we have internal discussion and internal rules as to how we're going to operate. So here we're setting down a standard, a statute, that everybody can agree to in advance. So we know what the ground rules are. My understanding is the county executive likes this approach, so it avoids the conflict later, where we put up something, he puts up something, whatever. We know in advance what we're doing. That's all this is. It doesn't impact the court standard later. This is not about a court later saying you violated the state law. This is about what we're going to let go to the table in the first place.
Can you focus on this issue?
Sure. Does that make sense? Do people disagree with me on that? Am I not clear?
That's the macro.
That's the macro.
Yeah. We're talking about
but
the micro.
Under DGL Restaurant Corp. case that's cited in this opinion, the county is preempted from imposing additional restrictions on rights granted by state law. So the question is, does this proposed local law impose an additional restriction on a right granted
May
by
I
state
ask
law?
Whose right they were restricting? And what was the specific fact pattern?
Well, I haven't read can you explain the DJL case because I haven't read it?
The DJL was the ABC law, and it was New York City was imposing additional restrictions
on
licensing for establishments that sold alcohol
on the licensees.
Right. Okay. So that was they were saying that the state had preempted the local government by giving the licensee certain rights, and that they could rely on those rights, and that the city of New York could not take those rights away.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that the licensees had certain rights. It was that the only restrictions that the licensees had to deal with were going to be the ABC laws and then any maybe public health or sanitary laws. And it was just that you can't it was that the city can't place additional restrictions when you have a preempted field of
law. But that's a very broad statement. You got to look at the specific fact pattern, the specific law. In that particular case, when you deal with the ABC law, potential licensees have certain rights that they can rely on, and if the locality violates those rights, then the licensee has the right to sue in an Article 78 and get the license granted, correct? Okay, that's just not the circumstance here. That's why I asked the question before, does a potential developer have any rights? And the answer is no. The potential developer does not have any rights under state law or under this statute. This is purely a procedural statute. I respectfully suggest that if we tried to say that someone that one of the homeowners did not have a right to proceed under this law. And if we put additional, let's assume we said, well, all claims that the county of Westchester improperly condemned the piece of property must be filed within 30 days. That would be a restriction of the rights of the homeowners that we would not be able to do.
I think we should be focusing on the rights of future boards.
Yes.
That's
yes.
What we're talking about.
Yeah, that's why it requires. That's why it requires a referendum, because we are going to be changing the powers of future boards.
Right.
No question about that. We agree.
You do that, and then to reverse it, you got to go through the same process.
We understand that. We understand that. But that's a very different question than running afoul of the eminent domain procedure law.
That is the question. That is the question.
Are you saying that we cannot restrict our own powers?
Because of the state law which has preempted the field.
But where in here does it say that we have to consider it a certain way? This not we are a charter county. This can't preempt our charter rights. All we're doing there is rearranging the relationship between the Board of Legislators and the County Executive. And in this case, I understand the County Executive agrees with it. So there's nobody here complaining. But let's go back to the issue that you were raising, and that is whether we're preempted.
Do we have anybody from the County Executive's office to confirm that?
My understanding is that he looks favorably upon this. We haven't discussed the specific language of it, but that he looks...
Can I be heard for 1 second?
Yeah, your turn.
First of all, the County Executive, when he was the County Legislator, supported this law, for the record, and it's in writing. We had the County Executive was a supporter of the County Legislature.
Yeah, but he supported the Miller House renovations, too.
All right, well, I'm not going there.
He might again. He might again.
Tom kind of touched upon one point that I don't know if it's in the opinions. I don't have the luxury of seeing it right now. We really should have gotten the opinion last week so we could have looked at it over the weekend. I think the County Attorney's Office should have got this to us last week so all of us could have prepared for today's meeting. But with that said, Tom hit on a very good point. We're a charter county. When you're talking about the preemption issue, it's very different for a charter county and a non-charter county. And I hope that was covered in the opinion. I haven't read the opinion. But unless the actual state law specifically exempts counties from legislating the specific language, a charter county has a little bit more of a luxury to legislate on laws. And I don't know if that's in the opinion. Number one. Number two, when we were drafting the law, then whether it is a public use, a private use, a permitted use, or non-permitted use, whatever language you're going to use, my understanding is that we're filling a vacuum. We're not going in and changing actual law in the state. We're filling a vacuum. There is no law. There's no language in state law that deals specifically with the language we drafted. And I wonder if that's covered in the opinion. And number three, again, what Tom said I agree with is that we're not touching any procedure in the state eminent procedure law. We're certainly not doing that. I don't know how that could be even deemed that we're doing that. We're saying at the outset, and I think it was Peter's voice said, in a macro kind of way, this is the policy of Westchester County related to these projects. We're not touching the eminent domain procedure law. I hope all these three things are properly dealt with in the opinion, or the opinion may be flawed itself.
You want to address that? Justin?
Well, I think that even if it's Charter County, we're still under the New York State Constitution, Article 9, and the Municipal Home Rule Law as well. And the overriding issue of whether or not a field is preempted applies to charter counties as well as others that are under the county law. So again, it's come down to whether or not field is preempted by this law. If you look at the legislative purpose, and the Court of Appeals has said that's one of the things you look at in determining whether the state has preempted the field, and the section EDPL section 101 is very clear. The purpose of this law is to provide the exclusive procedure by which property shall be acquired by the exercise of power of eminent domain in New York State.
The eminent domain procedure law doesn't set forth a procedure for a municipality, what the level of vote has to be to condemn property, two-thirds or majority.
I think we said at the last meeting that you could change the level of vote. What we're talking about here is a very substantive issue of whether or not you can redefine what the state law defines.
Can we ban the county from ever involving itself in eminent domain in any circumstance?
I would say no. State law does not allow that.
So you're saying that there are then you're saying that potential beneficiaries of condemnation have a right?
No, that doesn't follow at all.
Well, if we can't ban it, and we have 10 proposals and we turn down all 10, then you've given somebody a cause of action to say that the Board of Legislators is not considering these on the basis of merit and has just come to
acting
a policy.
Capriciously.
And acting capriciously. And I don't think there is such there's no such theory of law or a legislature.
We've talked about every one of those things and come to the conclusion that 10 out of 10 are not satisfactory. That does not constitute capriciousness.
Yes, it does if they have a right.
No, on the contrary, because we're talking through every one of them.
They don't even have to entertain it. The county doesn't even have to entertain it.
Nobody has a right to force a government to exercise eminent domain.
So what you're saying is that we have a right to do what we want, but we can't specify that policy in advance.
No, I think what the county attorney is saying is this. Can you hold on a second?
Sure.
I think what he's saying is this. You can restrict. You can make it more restrictive in the sense you can require a two-thirds vote, but you can't restrict what that two-thirds vote can be for. In other words, you have to leave open the full panoply of what a public and private use is under state law as defined in the court opinions as well. But within that broad context, you could require a two-thirds vote. You see what I'm saying?
I understand the difference. I understand the distinction. I don't see the difference.
John, some of the cases that I've read on this were the recent ones coming out, and my understanding of the law is there is no definition in state law about public use versus private use.
No, it's defined in case law. It's case law.
Exactly. That's why we can fill the vacuum.
So can you?
I don't think there's any case in New York State that defines public use versus private use. As it relates to eminent domain, you're saying, I don't think such a case exists.
Can I respectfully suggest that I think the cases are doing?
You're saying there's not a case that defines what public use is.
Let me expand on Jimmy. What they're saying is that it was a reasonable determination by the condemnor to make a decision that this was a public. The courts. All of the courts are saying, in effect, what they're saying. They may not be using this language, but all they're saying in each case is that the condemnor. The local government, whatever it was, did not act capriciously, did not act unreasonably, and had the discretion to make the determination and to rule the way it did.
That's why they always win.
Well, and that's exactly because it's a question of it's
more complex. I think the issue
much more complex.
Whether
sure.
Under the Constitution, it's a public use, and the question is what you define a public use to be, and the courts have defined it very broadly, rightly or wrongly.
But the courts have defined it very broadly in sustaining the determination of a local government.
Right.
So all they're saying in every one of these circumstances, Jimmy, in every one of these circumstances, what they're saying is the local government acted reasonably. They didn't say that the local, is there any case that you can find where a court has said that a local government acted in a fashion that was too restrictive?
But the point is, in every case, it's the local government that initiates it.
Correct. Exactly. And so we're saying here that we're just setting out a standard in advance that we ourselves agree on. There's no case that you can point to that I know of where the courts have said the local government acted unreasonably because it restricted itself. It decided not to go in that direction. And all they have done in every case is say the local government had the discretion and these people who own homes are saying the government acted unreasonably because the definition they used for public use was too broad. And the courts have come back and said, in the guise of defining public use, etc., no, we think the local people have the discretion, and they acted reasonably, because public use can be defined this broad. That's all those courts have done. I mean, we're getting all hung up in the definitions and comparing this to the... In every one of these cases, the court has found a way to sustain the local government. That's all it's done.
And there's absolutely no instance, where the court has forced any local government to use its power of eminent domain.
Right. Thank you. That's my point. So we have a right in advance. And there's no case which says they can't make a definition in advance.
Well, that's the question that we're talking about.
You're missing that point. We're filling a vacuum.
Right.
And there's no case that lays that out either. All they say is that public use, the way local governments have made those determinations in that particular eminent domain case, was arbitrary and capricious.
Correct.
But there's nothing in the law that says there's a definition of public use as we sit here right now.
Well, I don't agree. I think that the state law is all-encompassing, and it says so specifically.
But if one, show, point to me in the state law where it lays out a definition of public use. You show me that.
I'll show you that the power of eminent domain covers all those contingencies.
No,
so it's up to the local government in its analysis to decide whether to proceed or not.
Jimmy, let me jump in for a second. Bob, what you're doing is you're saying that a power... John, I think it's a very simple, logical thing. The county attorney is saying that the existence of a power prohibits you from restricting the use of your own power. And I think that's a theory of law that's not valid. I think you have a right to restrict in advance. Now, this is kind of a legal theory. It's just a legal philosophy. That's what this is about. What we're talking about here is the power of county government, as opposed to this. You can argue this in every area that we've been involved in. You could argue with DWI. You came in and said that since the state law does not restrict does not deal with the issue of confiscation of vehicles, therefore we could do it. I could just as well argue and say that the state legislature has preempted the field and has already dealt with it and said this is the maximum, we're taking the field.
That's the issue.
But the county attorney's office told me I couldn't do it.
Is this preempted? Right. We come to the conclusion it is.
But how is this different than all the others?
If anybody in the other committee
members
have a comment, question, or... opinion.
I think, John, to your point, if I may, what we're saying is we have the right to restrict ourselves, is what I'm taking from your opinion. We don't have the right to change the definition of public use.
Yeah, there's two parts to this. Well, there's three parts to the law. There's
funding
for other projects.
So we can still restrict how this body operates. There, I'm not hearing any obstacle of that. We just can't change the state.
Correct.
How the state and the courts have defined.
But see, the question is whether we can set standards for ourselves to operate on the basis of in advance. And it would seem to me that we cannot pass a statute that says we're going to condemn for private purposes. That's clear, because we don't have the power to do that. So now we come down to the question of what's a public purpose. And we don't have to exercise our full power to all of the public purposes, like the courts are saying.
Why can't we define what a private purpose? Essentially, that's what you're doing. You're defining what a private. I'm kind of agreeing with you. Like, why can't we define what a private purpose?
I think we can, as long as it's more restrictive.
That's what Tom wants. He wants to define.
Well, why bother to go into the definition when just say this board, by this law or act, shall not. Do the following things.
We changed it to do exactly that. The latest copy.
Don't discuss private and public
use. I agree with you.
Just say that as a policy. It'll run five sentences, and it'll be the end of it.
The revision does that.
The rest of this stuff is unnecessary.
I think the revision does that.
I mean, the word solely too.
But if you're going to go that route, while I'm still not in favor of it, I could be conceivably convinced, but not this. The whole broad thing that we've walked ourselves into. On the issue of eminent domain is clearly untenable by the county attorney's opinion.
Right.
I think we just want to drop it and go back to what I thought the original intent of this was to restrict ourselves by ourselves and be done with it.
Okay. There's a budget meeting coming up. This is my suggestion for Tom and Jim. I think, first of all, we just got this morning, so I'd like to read it closely and actually read the cases that it cites. But you, Jim and Tom, may want to respond to it, all right, with some of the arguments. Just think about the arguments and respond to it. The other thing I would throw out is take a look at the New Columbia University decision and the concept of civic project.
But this allows for that.
Well, if it does, I think we're
I think it allows for that. Read the definition of prohibited versus... We kind of did what you were just talking about, Bill.
I'm not sure, because I'm not sure the definition that Jim and Tom have proposed is so off the mark. I'm not so sure it's so off the mark.
Yeah, I think we've tried very hard.
Why should we open ourselves up to any sort of a challenge to the law if we don't need to?
Well, we changed the wordings to avoid that issue.
But I haven't.
Well, they're intentionally doing that. They want to go in. The whole question here is, do we as legislators want to restrict our rights? or do we as legislators, supposedly representing our constituency, want to restrict it on their behalf? That's the issue here. You don't normally see legislatures that want to restrict their own powers.
Right.
And that's what Jim and Tom are trying to do. The question is whether we feel we should restrict the county's powers, or are we representing our constituency better by restricting their rights?
The board powers.
Yes.
By effectively by rule.
That's the issue.
Would this work if you just made this a rules change?
No, because what we're trying to do here also is give proper notice to the public. It's only fair that everybody know in advance what the rules are. Because right now, there are no rules.
But, you know, Tom, because there's been one or two bad projects that have occurred over the last 10 years, and I understand what you and Jim are trying to do, is this something that we really want to do to the future boards? This board and future boards is restrict a developer's rights to do something. When we can ultimately step in and say yes or no, because...
Yeah, but we'll never say no. You know that. Because every legislator will come forward and say, it's in my district, I want it.
I brought that example up to you in Yonkers. But plenty of projects have been restricted. Yeah, the area legislator was against it because their constituency didn't want it, but we were able to persuade a body on several occasions that it wasn't good for Yonkers. So I'm really stuck over here because I understand what you're trying to do in principle, and I think that's very honorable, but I don't know whether we want to restrict our abilities as well as future boards' abilities to vote on something that's important as eminent domain.
You want to put it out for a public hearing? Let's see what kind of response we get.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
well, we don't have a bill yet.
We
have a bill.
Okay.
I think a public hearing probably would focus on a much more basic, kind of simplified discussion of
rights.
The public's understanding of eminent domain. Government taking from me as a private property owner.
Can we spend 2 minutes to look at
the
bill?
Some of the issues that have been raised here today.
We've given you a new
really
bill.
Require that we devote some time, I think, as members to looking at the materials.
All right, but
can I
run through the bill very briefly before in the last few minutes, John?
Yes.
Let's just go through it very quickly, okay? The first part is the legislative intent, which basically
the red print.
No. It's
where
this
is your bill.
This
the
bill.
Local law.
There's a new local law.
It's this one.
It's freestanding all by itself in the package.
With the definitions and all the rest of the
correct. Let's just run through very quickly so you understand.
So this is dated
6/25/2010.
Right.
So
6/25. Right.
Okay, now what you have, just let's do the overall. You got a legislative intent, you got definitions, then you've got eminent domain, which says permitted and prohibited uses, and then you've got the section of enforcement, and then the rest of it is boilerplate. Working backwards, enforcement basically says who can go to court, and that gives legislators, it gives the county executive the right to sue the other branch of government if one branch of government is violating this law. Not if it's violating the state law, if it's violating this law. Okay. Let's work backwards now to 6/44/04, eminent domain permitted and prohibited uses. It says the Westchester County government, section 1, A1, is hereby prohibited from using its powers of eminent domain to condemn private property for prohibited uses. Okay? You're not going to condemn public property, so you're dealing with private property for prohibited uses. Now, let's back up and say, what's a prohibited use? A prohibited use versus a permitted use is 644.03 B and C. A prohibited use means the possession, occupation, and or employment of a parcel of land for any purpose or function other than a permitted use as defined herein. So now let's go down and see what's a permitted use. A permitted use is a use of land by the general public or public agencies, you know, that might be like our police department or something like that, or a library, for the creation or functioning of public utilities. The next one is to cure a harmful effect of the land, including removal of public nuisances, etc. And then the last one is for abandoned property. So it's a relatively narrow definition, and if you want to change that definition to add something else, we can. But it's basically it deals with this whole issue that the courts have been dealing with of what's blighted, what's a problem in the community. And we're saying if there's a problem in the community, then clearly we're going to participate. We understand the need to do that. If somebody can show us there's a problem there. Or if for some reason it's going to be like a general public purpose, whether it's a library or a police department or a fire department or whatever, something like that. And if you want to broaden that definition, we can broaden that definition. But that's what you were saying, Bill, is avoid this public, and we are listing stuff. And if you have some other definition, now, we also decided in here, way back when, way before the housing lawsuit, was that we weren't going to get involved in the issue of whether housing was a public purpose or not. We specifically said housing, and we should add the words fair and affordable, because it just says affordable housing. We should add fair and affordable. But we just said affordable housing, because we try to avoid the issue of whether housing is a... Remember that whole argument we had? We said, let's not get into whether it's a public purpose or not a public purpose. Make it a permitted purpose, because the legislature here, some of us might disagree as to the breadth of it, but by and large, this legislature said that we want housing. So fine, we're saying that's one of the things we can condemn for.
Tom, I had not seen this. It is the 25th on Friday, so I had not seen it over the weekend.
Well, we tried to...
In concept... I think I'm feeling a lot more favorable about this.
Well, we listened. We heard what you guys said,
okay,
and we tried to rewrite it to accommodate
that. Do you want to make a motion now to put on for public hearing?
Sure.
No.
Or
there's no resolution for public hearing.
Yes, there is. You just didn't put it on the agenda. It's here.
I didn't get it.
Where's the committee report?
We filed it a long time ago.
For this law?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You have to put it.
Oh, it's here. It's all with the things with the red cap.
But that's the old version.
But it's still the same committee report. It's the same committee report.
I don't know. If you have to wait another week.
I would suggest one more meeting so we can tie together.
I don't think they want to put it on.
We can tie together.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Because we can tie together their response to this.
I would second your motion, but...
Tom, I'm supporting you on the bill, as you know, but I think just for process.
Can we have another
more meeting
next
to tie this all together?
Okay. Add fair
we'll
and affordable, and also consider, and I'm going to try to take a shot at this, but I ask you to do it, consider the concept of civic project, because I don't think...
Jim, what do you think? Is that okay?
I don't think you're covering the use of eminent domain where there's public use and a private use combined.
Okay. That's one.
Is everybody still there?
Yes.
Yeah, we're here.
I just want to say this, Jim. I certainly can wait another week. I certainly want to look closer at the county attorney's opinion. But I do want to say one last time, sorry to be repetitive, but we're kind of having, I think, a bit of a flawed debate. And that is for the following reason. The county attorney's office now is saying that we are preempted from dealing with the procedures of the eminent domain law under state law. We agree with that. We don't think our law does that. That's the important point. I don't want to debate whether we should debate. But I think the answer to the debate is not that we are changing or dealing with the procedural, eminent domain procedure law. We're not. There's nothing in the eminent domain procedure law that deals with what a public use is. That's just not in the law. So I think that debate is somewhat flawed. I think when everybody reads that opinion, I hope you take that point.
Yeah, but Jimmy, even if there was, what we're suggesting here is we're not dealing with that issue. We're saying in advance, guys, we don't want to get into that kind of a discussion later. We've just agreed there's a limited amount of money out there. We're going to dedicate whatever money we have to certain types of purposes. That's all we're saying. And if what I've offered here is that if a legislator finds that we've left out something that they think is important, that should be in the stuff that we want to deal with, let's include it in the definitions. That's all we're doing.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, could we ask that the county attorney read this law and report to us as to whether or not it is in any way impactful with the eminent domain procedure law?
If that's a motion, I'd second.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Can you take a look at that?
The new one.
The Abenaki law of 625?
Okay, so we're going to
the A&M law.
The county attorney is going to look at the current version of the law as it's been amended, and legislators Abenanti and Mezzano are going to respond.
I would like to raise one other issue before.
No, let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
We're going to respond to the county attorney's memo, and you're going to consider broadening the term of permitted use to include the concept of a civic project.
Yes. Okay. Fine.
But you got to read that opinion, the Court of Appeals.
Can you give us some advice on how to broaden this to include civic project? Because we would like some language to do that. Because I personally, in my mind, a civic project is what this is designed to do. is to allow.
But see if you.
But maybe the language is too restrictive.
Yeah, but take a look at the definition in the.
Yeah, in the Columbia case, you're going to see that there's a huge.
And I know it's, it says educational. It says other stuff like that.
See what you think of that definition. Yeah. Okay. What was the additional point?
I just want to make sure that you're happy with who has the right to enforce this, because I don't want to find at the last minute somebody says, because we took out the private right of action, but we left the municipalities.
Well, that's why I'd like to have the county attorney clarify this. I myself have some problems with anybody suing anybody else under the law like this.
But okay, but this is only to enforce this part of the law.
Right, but this
doesn't go to this other issue out there.
And I'm not prepared to say I'm for it or against it.
That's why I want to raise it now, because I want to be fair. I don't want somebody at the last minute to say, well, hey, I don't want
to raise it. Whether it's appropriate for your municipality to
try to enforce our law.
Right.
Against ourselves or against another branch of government.
Correct.
And I'm not specific.
Against another level of government.
Correct.
Municipality versus county.
Correct.
Can you
also
take a look at that?
Us.
Well, if it's not a legal issue, it's a policy issue.
The board's doing the executive and vice versa in here. Isn't that what you're permitting?
Yes, but we also give local governments.
That's what I'm concerned about.
That's why I raise it, because I want everybody to come to a conclusion on that next time.
Well, the executive,
so we don't have to go back out again.
Right, but we have had some discussions rather recently about the idea of the executive suing the legislature or vice versa, and I'm not altogether sure I'm comfortable with that kind of behavior.
Well, I
want to read this, and I would certainly like to hear my colleagues' opinions.
What we're also talking about here, though, is we're not talking about, again, this is not intended to give anybody the right to sue on the state concepts of eminent domain.
Fully understood.
This is only the issue, and I think this may just be redundant of the law that we already have through case law, but I'm more comfortable when we specify it, because you get out of the, because later on, if for example, we need to sue the county executive because he's done something here, I don't like the public image of the public saying, hey, what are you guys doing?
Well, yes.
I would rather have it in the statute to say, look, we have the power to do this,
but
and we're just enforcing the law.
Something else.
Yeah, the Mazzano versus Spano case and the Dobbs Ferry case where I was involved, where I sued the county on behalf of the village of Dobbs Ferry.
That's not any statute anywhere. That's just
just general
prior example. Okay.
Yeah, it's just general law. And I'm much more comfortable with us staying in advance.
So who's going to make these changes? The county attorney's office? They should really take this over and take over the committee report.
Right. Well, it's all done, but we can. Joanne has it on the statute. She'll give it to them.
Update it when you're changing.
Yeah, but there was nothing in the committee report that changed here. We've been playing with. Oh, you'll check it and make sure.
Well, I think you have to change the committee report. The committee report referred to the private right of action. It referred
you're correct.
It referred to the public private use terms, public use of. So
from that
who's
going
to change the committee report?
All right. Joanne and the county attorney's office will work it out. One way or another, they'll get it done.
All right, so we all know what we're doing next week.
Yeah, is there anything else that we need to, so that we don't come up with anything else on next Monday? I don't want to find that there's. Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't want to find that.
I don't know. Until I read this,
well,
I don't
please,
know.
Yeah.
I would reserve.
Sure.
First, before we break, who's going to be here next Tuesday?
Won't be
much
sure yet.
All right. No? What's the quorum?
Four.
For action?
Yeah.
Jimmy, can you be here next Tuesday?
We have that meeting on the flood thing. Yeah.
Jimmy?
What time is that?
I don't know if it's set yet. But we're supposed to.
So the answer is yes?
In the morning.
Can we do another 9? How about 9:30?
9:30, can you be here?
What about?
Is the answer yes?
Is there a budget meeting next week?
I don't think anything.
Well, we work, so
we're
coming in at 9:30.
Yeah,
9:30 legislation committee meeting next week.
Need a motion.
For what?
To adjourn.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all. We're actually planning a rules committee meeting for next week.
John, we have a 1:30 meeting?
Yeah.
You have a 4 o'clock meeting, and then I've got a...
Thank you, Jim.
Jimmy, are you still there?
Hey, Peter, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Sure. Yeah, he is.
Can you make a rules committee meeting on Tuesday? All right, I'll be right after the others. I can Okay, so you want it right after legislation?
10 o'clock.
Okay.
We'll make it 10 o'clock, Jim.
Okay, so I'll make it following.
So we go from one to the other.
Okay, I think you can be here.
Ken is always here. Hey, Bill, what's your reaction to this?
Are you done?
Yeah. I mean, it just it raises some interesting issues that caused me to stop right away. And that was, you know, with the point about state law and the conduct that is permitted for this meeting.